This podcast was recorded Thursday, April 16th at 11:01 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like we'll have gotten the politics out of the effort to defeat COVID-19.
Wouldn't that be nice? Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who operate in that world. I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown. Coming up later in the podcast, running an election during a pandemic. We'll talk with Ohio's elections chief, Secretary of State Frank LaRose. But first, when do we reopen Ohio and how do we reopen Ohio?
Growing crowds of protesters are demonstrating at the State House, demanding Health Director Amy Acton lift the stay-at-home orders. There's a growing number of voices on social media, and now a small but increasingly vocal number of state lawmakers all saying it is time for Ohio to at least start to get back to normal. Among them, Republican State Senator Andrew Brenner from Powell here in Central Ohio.
The reason for shutting down the businesses was to make sure that we had enough capacity to handle a potential surge of patients. We are clearly well below those models. And given the fact that we now have about 700,000 people who have lost their jobs in the last 3 weeks, we need to go ahead and work to get those people back to work.
Make that 850,000 Ohioans who have lost their jobs, adding in this week's numbers.
Yeah, it's getting bigger and bigger. Governor DeWine, though, so far not budging. He's not setting a back-to-business date. He says he will be guided by health experts and not by politics, not even by the president. And DeWine says even when the state allows businesses to reopen, schools, other things to open up, it's going to be different.
Every company's got to figure out, what do I need? But there are common things that we know have to be there, kind of basic things, you know, the masks that, you know, certainly can and are being produced, and the hand sanitizer.
DeWine says he and his administration are working with business leaders to come up with a plan to reopen businesses, schools, restaurants, bars, trying to resume elective surgeries and procedures at hospitals. The many places shuttered by the pandemic, when they do reopen, Steve, they're going to look a lot different in procedures and how we shop, how we go to games, mm-hmm. how we go to work. It's going to be a lot different.
If we go to games, I think would be another way to say it. Who knows? Until we have a vaccine, is there any way Ohio Stadium allows 100,000 people into a football game? I don't know how that happens. I've been surprised before. Who knows? Maybe they'll have great antiviral drugs developed by then. I don't see how things get back to normal until there's a vaccine. I think if we're going to restaurants, if we're going to bars even, we're going to be wearing masks largely. I think children might have staggered school times. I think there might be school days that start at 2 p.m. in order to allow less populated buildings. I think DeWine is right and Amy Acton is right that our society is not going to look the same until we have a vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, their messaging has changed. If you listen to these news briefings every day, you know, at first it was stay home, to slow the spread, to protect our healthcare workers and preserve the personal protection equipment that was in short supply. It still is in short supply to some degree. Now it's, okay, as we get back to normal, it's not going to be normal until we get the vaccine. And that has a lot of folks on the right saying, wait a minute, you're changing you're moving the goalpost here. Now it's, we're not going to be back to normal until we have a vaccine. I thought it was we'll get back to normal when the healthcare system could handle the cases. And that's where I think the pressure is coming. And as we record this on Thursday morning, we haven't heard what the president's going to say. He apparently is going to talk about lifting the guidelines for the stay at home.
Since he has total control.
Yes, he does have total control.
Right.
Well, he's,
he does not have total control.
He had
control.
It on Monday, but not so much on Tuesday. Who knows what he has on Wednesday and Thursday. But it's going to put... It's really going to put governors like Mike DeWine in a tough spot, I think. Say the president says, we're going to be open for business May 1st, and Mike DeWine doesn't think that Ohio's ready yet. He's going to face even more political pressure to open up Ohio, and, you know, especially from folks in his own party.
What happened in Michigan this week could be coming to Ohio. There were a few dozen protesters outside, the people we just heard. there were thousands in Michigan where they had caused intentional gridlock outside the state capitol. And Michigan is a state far worse off than Ohio right now. And I think you're absolutely right that there's going to be more political pressure from people not as far to the right. Andrew Brenner is an outlier when it comes to the state house. He's among the John Becker types. He's very far right. I think you're going to see that sentiment drift toward the center. And there's already businesses lobbying DeWine to allow them to reopen. There's an economic task force formed by Larry Householder where they're trying to find ways to allow businesses to reopen. Here in Columbus, the mayor, Andrew Ginther, is studying the same issue. I think you're exactly right that I would not be surprised if DeWine, as out front as he has been, as focused on public health as he has been, if he starts to, I don't know if you want to say cave, but if he starts to appease these people on the right, because it's just the way politics work.
Yeah. I think if he goes slowly, I think, you know, because, I mean, let's just take the hospitals, for example. The hospitals are empty right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of the hospitals are empty. There are a lot of people who have been hospitalized with COVID-19. Make no mistake, and it's a terrible disease, and they're in very tough conditions, many of them. But the elective surgery ban has a lot of hospitals under capacity. So I think
And not making money.
And nurses being furloughed, doctors being furloughed and losing money, and medical professionals, medical office workers being furloughed and losing money. I think if the need for PPE becomes manageable and the surge in cases starts to go the other way, that'll be the first thing I think that DeWine can say, look, we don't need to save the PPE anymore. You can come back and have your knee replacement surgery. You can have that colonoscopy you've been putting off for a month or 6 weeks. And that'll start to get us back to normal. I think you're right. Ball games, mass events, that's going to be I don't know. You're right. 100,000 people at Ohio Stadium, the way you have to sit so close to each other.
Right.
I just don't see how that can happen.
The way you're sharing the little airplane bottles of whiskey that you brought in.
Well, it's not transferred by that. It's transferred by air.
My wife is a nurse, and so this is an issue that has been very present in our house. She has been getting called off of work lately. Not all the time, but they'll give her the option. You know, they'll call and say, hey, would you like to take today off?
We don't need her.
And use paid time off.
Yeah.
There are reports of nurses having to borrow paid time off so they can get paid. And while they're, I don't know if you'd call it a furlough, but while they're not working, society does not get back to normal until there's a vaccine. And I think DeWine has played this smart with, if you want to say, moving the goalposts by not scaring the crap out of people in the beginning. Imagine if he had said in mid-March that nothing is going to be the same until we have a vaccine. Yeah. I mean, that was such a time of national anxiety. There was schools closing, restaurants, bars, everything was shutting down. People were having anxiety attacks. Imagine if he gets on TV and he says, our society is not going to be the same for the next 18 months. That was not the appropriate time to say that.
Yeah, I went to the grocery store this weekend, and they did a very nice job, I thought. We had a line outside. We had a stand-in line. For me, it was late Saturday afternoon. I was picking up some last few things for Easter, and it wasn't that crowded. So I waited in line maybe 10 minutes. We were 6 feet apart. We went into the store. Very few people in the store, but enough. And I was able to get my stuff. Did not have to wait in line at the cash register. I think that's going to be the new normal coming forward. I think that's going to be the normal at restaurants, at grocery stores. Maybe half of the tables will be open. You'll have to wear a mask while you're when you're interacting with your waiter or waitress. You'll have to wear a mask if you're going to interact with a bartender. The bartenders and waiters will be wearing masks. I can see that happening, you know, sooner rather than later. Certainly by June 1st, I think.
I don't know how many restaurants stay open at that point. If you're a regular mom and pop diner, how do you stay open with a half to a third of the business? I mean, that's such a slim profit margin business.
Better than now,
I know what you mean. I'm with you. I don't think anything returns to normal for another 12 months.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. We'll be right back.
On All Sides with Ann Fisher, we cover the topics that affect life in Central Ohio, from immigration to the economy to the continuing opioid crisis.
But the reality is, if you don't save someone who's overdosed, they have no opportunity to recover.
Hear thoughtful, in-depth conversations about the issues that matter now. Subscribe to the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Snollygoster. In case you had not noticed, amid all the pandemic news, Ohio's primary election continues. No TV ads that I've seen anyway, no mailers in our mailboxes, but voters continue to cast ballots by mail. And joining us now to talk about the final few days of the primary election and look ahead at what voting might look like going forward is the man who oversees Ohio's election, Secretary of State Frank LaRose. Mr. Secretary, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you. Look forward to making sure everybody knows how to make their voice heard in these final couple days of the Ohio primary.
Let's start with that. How is the voting by mail going?
You know, I think it's going well. We are moving quickly to conclude this primary. April 28th is the date that has been set by the General Assembly. It's a big task by our boards of elections, and they are responding, as they always do, with patriotism and moving with alacrity to get this accomplished and make sure that they're responding to those absentee ballot requests and getting them out in the mail right away. But now's the time to request your ballot, and so that's what we're trying to encourage every Ohioan to do.
Is the volume what you had hoped for, the, quote, turnout?
It's never what I'd hope for, because I want to see 100% voter participation. I mean, my goal is to get every Ohioan casting a ballot and actively engaged in the civic life of our state. And so we released some numbers just a couple days ago. It is about what you would expect for a presidential primary election season, where the presidential primary itself has gotten less exciting in the last few weeks. But there are still really important local candidates and local issues on the ballot. And as I always remind people, you know, it matters who lives in the White House, but what matters just as much is who works at the courthouse or the schoolhouse or the statehouse. And those are the kind of decisions that still have to be made in this primary.
You talked about people sending their ballot absentee request forms. You sent out postcards telling voters how to apply for an application to vote by mail. Why not just send out the application? Why not just even send out the ballots?
You're singing off my song sheet. That's exactly what I wanted to do, and that was the proposal that I had. The two big differences that I had between what was passed by the legislature, and by the way, it was unanimous and bipartisan approval that it received, but what I had proposed was that we have more time to complete this, because just the logistics of this takes time for printing and mailing and that kind of thing. And then I had also proposed that we send an absentee ballot request form to absolutely every registered voter who hasn't already voted, and that we include a postage paid return envelope. Again, unfortunately, that's not what the legislature passed, and so I am carrying out what the legislature has passed, and that is to conclude this election by April 28th. And what we're doing is trying to leave no stone unturned. And we've created, I think, a lot of innovative ways for people to get that absentee ballot request form. And so that's what we're focused on right now.
So the date today, April 16th, you're telling us people could still start the process today and vote by April 27th.
Absolutely. And if I can, I'd love to sort of lay out the three ways that we're suggesting that people go about requesting their absentee ballot, but we do encourage them to act as quickly as possible, because the boards of elections, again, still need to send you your ballot once they receive the request.
So you can go online and print out the application and mail it in. That's one way. Some newspapers have put the ballot in their newspapers over the past few weeks. That's one way. You can also do it by hand, correct? You don't need to print it out if you don't have a printer?
We've been partnering with newspapers, grocery stores, food banks. Food banks, when they're passing out food to those in need right now, are including absentee ballot requests in their grocery stores, have made them available throughout Ohio. And for those who are proactively looking to do it, the three methods are print, call, and mail. And if you're fortunate enough to have a printer at home, or if you know somebody who does, you can print that form right at voteohio.gov. If you don't have a printer, the two other ways are you can call 877-SOS-OHIO. That's our hotline at the Ohio Secretary of State's office, 877-SOS-OHIO. We offer multilingual support, by the way, for those for whom English is not their first language. That's something that we offer. We'll send you the form. But if you're going to do it that way, please get it done soon, because we have to have time to send you the form, and then you have to send it to your Board of Elections. The other way, and this is kind of creative, and I've enjoyed teaching people about about this. We don't need it to be on some official government form. If you just give us all the right information and you sign it and you send it in, then we can get you a ballot. And so we're helping people to make their own is what we're calling it. Just any old white, plain, blank piece of paper. And you go to voteohio.gov/makeyourown, voteohio.gov/makeyourown. And there's an example right there of all the information you have to include. You have to sign it and then mail it to your county board of elections. They will get you your ballot in the mail right away. And you can track it, by the way. Once you request your ballot, just like you track a package online, not every state offers this. This is another example of where Ohio's kind of leading the way. You can track what day it's going to arrive in your mailbox. And then once you send the ballot in, you know that your board of elections has received it because you can see it right there on your screen.
All this is great, but we're still under a time crunch right now. And when we're in a time crunch with mailing in ballots like this, errors could have really high stakes. What have the error rates been like? Are you getting a lot of ballots with minor errors that could cost people their right to vote?
You know, here are some of the errors that we're seeing. First of all, one error that we're not seeing, because we have made it clear both in the legislation and in my directive to the board that we're not going to be nitpicky about the date. One of the questions on the request form is it asks you what date the election is that you're voting in. And I understand there's confusion about that. I've told the boards of elections whether they put March 17th or April 28th or whatever day, as long as they indicate they're voting in Ohio's spring primary, then we're going to be good to go on the date. Some of the problems that we're seeing is people sending it in without signing it. It has to be signed. That signature has to match your signature on file, obviously. We're seeing some people that aren't indicating what kind of ballot they want, because remember, in a primary, there are partisan ballots for Republicans, Democratic ballots, and Libertarians have ballots in some cases as well here in Ohio, or you could vote the issues-only ballot. You have to indicate which one of those you want so your Board of Elections can send you the right one. Now, the good news is this. If the Board of Elections receives a form and it's signed, but it's missing some information, they can contact you and they can work that out over the phone. And it's extra work by the boards, but they're doing that. In fact, they've been doing that with some of their employees that have to work from home right now. So the Board of Elections employees that are working from home are on the phone resolving some of those forms that have errors on them.
Yeah, someone in my house who will remain nameless made a mistake on their form. Not me. I mailed back and I'm mistake free, but they took care of her right away, and she's going to get her ballot and get it in.
Our boards of elections do great work, and yeah, these are bipartisan teams. Just when it seems like Republicans and Democrats can't agree what day of the week it is in Washington, at your board of elections, they work really well together, and I'm happy to hear that her situation got resolved.
Speaking of not agreeing with folks in Washington, now, of course, this happened. This was like maybe three or four controversies ago. That's how we tell time here on Snollygoster. We measure controversies. So three or four of them ago, President Trump declared voting by mail is no good.
I think that mail-in voting is a terrible thing. I think if you vote, you should go. And even the concept of early voting is not the greatest, because a lot of things happen. But it's okay. But you should go and you should vote. I think you should go and you should vote. You look at what they do, where they grab thousands of mail-in ballots and they dump it. I'll tell you what, and I don't have to tell you, you can look at the statistics.
Of course, the statistics say just the opposite. Voter fraud is very rare. And oddly enough, Donald Trump voted by mail and voted early himself in Florida's primary. Secretary LaRose, what say you? Is voting by mail corrupt?
You know, the concerns that he raised may exist in other states. I'm not an expert on the 50 states vote by mail process. I know that those concerns that the president has raised do not exist in Ohio. And you're right to mention that voter fraud is rare. It's not non-existent. It does happen, and we prosecute for it, and we work to keep it rare by enforcing the laws that we have in Ohio. We've referred people just in the last few months for prosecution when we found instances of voter fraud. But you're right. It is a fraction of a percent. It's a small number, and we work proactively to prevent that. And specifically, the way Ohio does vote by mail prevents some of those concerns that you've heard voiced by the president and others. That process of so-called ballot harvesting that has led to concerns in other states and recently of note in North Carolina in the last few years, that's never been allowed in Ohio. The only person that can return your ballot to your board of elections is your U.S. postal carrier or a member of your family. Go ahead.
What do you think about the president of the United States using his platform, the biggest platform in the world, to sow seeds of doubt into our electoral process?
you know, I don't speak for the president. The president.
Do you find it troubling, though? Do you find that do you find that attitude troubling?
You know, I think it's important that people have accurate information, and elections vary from state to state. And so I work through my platform and talking to journalists like yourselves and using my social media platform and every other ability that we have to get accurate information to people. And that's why we have a great frequently asked questions document right there at VoteOhio.gov. That's why, you know, when people overstate the existence of either fraud or something like voter suppression, I tend to correct the record on that, because I think it's important for people to know the facts. And in Ohio, vote by mail is secure, and everybody should take advantage of it and participate.
And you did correct the record this weekend when the president repeated his claim on a tweet. You retweeted out and said, no, Ohio's is secure. Have you faced any blowback from Republican colleagues, Republican supporters, for setting the record straight there and contradicting the president?
You know, not really. Here's the thing. In Ohio, both Republicans and Democrats have embraced vote by mail. You see that in the numbers of participation. Republicans and Democrats vote by mail in Ohio. You saw that with the unanimous bill that was passed just a couple weeks ago in the legislature, where all of the Republicans and all of the Democrats in the state legislature said that Ohio is going to conclude its primary as a vote by mail contest. Because what they know is that Ohio does it right. Not every state does, I'm sure, but the way that Ohio does it is an example for the nation. And we do it well, and Ohioans should participate in our vote by mail election here.
We've spent a lot of time talking about this April 28th primary election, very unique election. We have not even touched on November. I know that seems like eons away at this point.
Yeah.
What's the plan for November at this point? It seems like it's a normal election scheduled right now, right? But there are contingency plans, I assume, being crafted if they haven't been already.
Yeah, so first of all, the hope is that that we're back to doing all the things that we love in November, giving handshakes and hugs and high fives and going out to our polling locations and voting in person. And that's certainly what we hope happens. But, you know, the thing I learned in the Army is that you pray for peace but prepare for war. And so we're going to make sure that we have contingency plans in place. Our team has been drawing up some of those plans that we intend to present both to the legislature and to the governor and lieutenant governor here. Once we get past this April 28th primary that we're concluding, and that'll include opportunities for more vote by mail if that's the direction we need to go. The one thing that I want to make sure of is that we make those decisions based on the advice of our public health professionals, and that we make those decisions as early as we can to avoid confusion and to make sure that people know what the path forward is. Now, here's the good news: Ohio is well prepared to scale up to increased vote by mail, because again, in every election, Ohioans vote at sort of 20-25% as vote by mail. And so our boards know how to do it. They're equipped to do it. Ohioans are familiar with the process. There are some improvements that I want to make. Like, for example, I want to make those absentee ballot request forms available online so that you can just complete the process online and not have to mail anything in. I've been proposing that for 5 years. I've been asking the legislature to give me the ability to do absentee ballot requesting online. But we also, I'd like to see the postage paid for all of those return envelopes going forward. That's something else that I've proposed publicly for well over a year at this point.
Would you support just sending out the ballots? If you're a registered voter at a certain address, you don't have to apply. You'll get a ballot in October.
That's certainly the way it's done in many vote-by-mail states. And those vote-by-mail states that have done it for many years, including a lot of states out west, have done it that way. One of the reasons why that would be something that I could potentially be comfortable with in Ohio is that we maintain accurate voter rolls. And not every state does that. It's unfortunately, some people have made a political issue out of this, but really both Republican and Democratic secretaries of state in Ohio have maintained the accuracy of our voter rolls. That means when people are deceased, we remove them when they move out of state, that kind of thing. And so under that kind of a system, we could do that. And that would obviously have to be something that the legislature and the governor would weigh in on as well.
Frank LaRose, Ohio's Secretary of State, former state lawmaker himself, tasked with really overseeing a really unprecedented election. And we really appreciate you taking the time to come on a Snollygoster and explain it to our listeners.
Hey, thanks so much. VoteOhio.gov and 877-SOS-OHIO. That's how to get it done.
Absolutely.
Okay, good luck, Secretary. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, time now for where we're used to award, the Snollygoster of the Week Award. not something we're doing right now.
Yeah, this is usually the time where we pick on a selfish, shrewd politician or a political move with our Snollygoster of the Week award, but we're trying to be kind in these difficult times.
I really do miss those cynical times. It really, that was really, I thought, where we shined. But but we're trying to honor the many good things, truly good things, that our political leaders are doing these days with the opposite of the Snollygoster of the Week award, the Mugwump of the Week award.
Yes, the opposite of a Snollygoster. This week, it goes to Lori and Kevin Hamama, the Columbus couple whose dinnertime conversation prompted Battelle to quickly develop a way to decontaminate hospital protection equipment so it can be reused.
That's right. Kevin works at Battelle as an engineer. Lori is a physician who now works at Ohio Health. At dinner, Lori mentioned that they were running out of N95 masks, and Kevin remembered a Battelle study that showed the mask could be decontaminated and reused.
They both contacted their bosses, and you know the rest. Battelle quickly developed a system to clean the masks, and it deployed it to hotspots around the country.
And so for that dinner time conversation, that initiative, Lori and Kevin Hamama, you are our Mugwumps of the Week.
Well deserved. How about that, huh? See, it just shows you should have regular dinner time at a table and not eat in front of the TV.
Does that mean we should reopen restaurants?
I don't know about that. But
I mean, could we solve more issues if we had more dinner table conversations?
Imagine if they had eaten in front of the television that day.
Right.
And not had a good conversation.
How many N95 masks would be in a dumpster out back of Ohio Health right now?
Exactly.
Anyway, that is it for Snollygoster. Thanks again for our student producer, Jack Long, audio engineer extraordinaire, Eric French. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.